Good morning. Welcome to It's Time for Affordable Housing. I'm your favorite host, LaShondra Graves, the apartment lady, founder of Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation. And so you guys, I am out again. I just enjoy long walks and I like walking and meditating and talking. Yeah, I'm on the phone most of the time. But it's relaxing and it's getting cold outside, so I want to be outside as much as possible and enjoy God's creation, right? All right. So I am literally trying to find different microphones and so forth to reduce my noise when I'm outside, because I'm outside a lot, right? But that being said, let's get into our show. Yeah, I have so many ideas for content that I want to really focus on the renters, and I just want to make sure you guys got information that you can use. And so as we are getting colder in the in the northern states, it's getting cold. You guys know it was like snowing one year in Texas, really. And so the weather, we can't really tell what's gonna happen. I'm like, oh, it's cold, it's getting cold, but in December it might be 80 degrees for the whole month of December, right? Because that's how crazy it's been. And here I am talking about the weather. You guys know that conversation when you don't know what to talk about, you talk about the weather. Yeah, let's talk about how you're going to prepare for the winter. So the Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation, you guys know I'm founder of Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation. It is a 501c3 organization, and I'm so grateful for all the tenants that has allowed us to strengthen our programs. You know, I always joke, I say, yeah, you know, for 9 years, because I mean, we've been around for 9.5 years, and it was almost like every year, the eviction prevention and second chance rental program was modified, because, you know, I found flaws, my team found flaws, and we're like, okay, let's add this. And it was so crazy, because the Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation, we really didn't do any ads. I think out of this whole decade, we must have did about, I kid you not, less than $2,000 in advertisement across the board. I kid you not, right? Because all of the people that came from us, it was all word of mouth. And so I, you know, hindsight 2020, I've been joking to my sponsors and founders, partners. I'm like, man, even though, you know, one of you guys would recommend us to your mother and brother and father and coworker and friend, but you couldn't really tell them what to expect in the program. You just knew it works. That's all that matter. It works, right? And because every year we was adding or removing features of the program to get it to what we have today. And if it wasn't for you guys, that wouldn't be. And now, you know, we have the program, we have the perfect mix. We know how to help you stay housed. We know how to help you get out of this eviction cycle. We know how to help you if you've been dealing with chronic homelessness. We know how to help you when, with the hands you've been dealt. And for that, you guys, I owe all the tenants and families, I owe it all to you. Really. This program that we have now is because of you guys. It's because you guys believe that the Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation, regardless of what it was, how it ran, that it was going to work. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And for that, I just want to say thank you. And so when I say we finally got the perfect mix, yes, we are still doing the Second Chance Rental Program because the Second Chance Rental Program is needed more than ever. The eviction prevention now has its own home, and that's because we started an initiative, and it's the Eviction Space Resource Center. So let me tell you a little bit about the Eviction Space Resource Center. Yes, the Eviction Space Resource Center is brick and mortar. Yes, we are trying to put it in as many cities as we can. And yes, we decided to start in Houston, Texas. However, we are, sending the eviction space to as many mayors and governors as possible. And, whichever state decides to move forward with this initiative, then that's the state that will start it. Okay? So the Eviction Space Resource, and let me tell you why it's so important. The Eviction Space Resource Center is going to be a hub that's going to have all the resources you need as a renter, right? Super, super excited about that. I mean, we have food services, we have counseling services, mental health services. We're talking to big healthcare organizations or systems so that we can get a clinic. We're even talking to a children's hospital to get a children's clinic in the Eviction Space Resource Center. We have the financial literacy. We have the Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation where, if you come into one of these resource centers, you can go to the Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation and get into the Second Chance Rental Program. Workforce development. I mean, this resource center is it's going to be filled up with resources in your community, right? And so then we have offices for other NGOs and private sector businesses that offer resources that our renters can use. We even have a credit union and a tenant union in this space. I'm super, super excited. But then we've also made room to provide senior emergency housing for the seniors, right? So I'm super excited. And guess what? Yes, right now it's senior emergency housing, but we're going to expand. We thought about putting women and children and then seniors, and we know that's really not going to work. So we have the senior emergency housing right at the Eviction Space Resource Center. So downstairs will, that's the center. It's almost like, it'll be like, I'm super excited. You guys, I just want you to visualize it. It'll be like a mall, but it's just a mall full of resources. So, we're trying to get, a Dunkin' Donuts there. And it's all because of you guys, right? It's all because of you. It was because of your need and because of me wanting to help you. And of course, prayer, God is provider of all our needs. All of that came down to the Eviction Space Resource Center, okay? Right, so these are my updates. Let me tell you guys about what I came to talk to you about, and that is staying sheltered, staying housed during this winter. Okay, so I got a couple scenarios, right? In the northern states, we do have, northern states have eviction moratoriums, or winter, what we call them, winter moratoriums for evictions, because it gets very, very cold. And so those winter moratoriums are coming up. and I'll provide some information on that. But let's talk about how, you know, what you can do, what's in your power, you know, to stay housed. You're going to have to downsize. You're going to have to downsize. So let's say, and mind you, we have to stay within the capacity laws of the unit that you get in, but really it's time to downsize. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about what's the most important to you. Is it you staying housed because you're a single person and you need to stay sheltered? Is it you needing to stay sheltered because you have dependents, you have children, you have others that depend on you? And so if it's one of those things, then what would you do? What would you sacrifice to stay sheltered? The one thing I'm telling you to sacrifice is space, right? You guys heard about the tiny homes. I could live in a tiny home. Let me tell you, I could live in a tiny home. I promise you, I could live in a tiny home. Can you? So, you having space to have company, have parties, or however you entertaining your space, is that more important than you staying housed, getting your weight up so that you can change the trajectory of your life? Because this is what you're going to have to do. Even if you, you know, you're looking to move. Even though you're looking to move, you can lighten some of your burdens by moving to a smaller unit. So when the Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation starts taking tenants again, we're definitely going to move our tenants into smaller units, you guys. Because right now, it's all about getting your weight up. You got to get your weight up. So let me stay back. Let me, you know, I can digress on this, but let me get back to topic. Okay, so if you're currently facing an eviction or have already been moved out, first thing you need to do is find a local shelter, right? You need to find a local shelter in your state, especially if you have children. Find a local shelter. Now, I know this may not sound like the best solution, but it's a solution. It's better than you being unhoused, living in your car, trying to live in a hotel. You know, living in a hotel, you guys, that just drains your pocket. That just drains your pocket. It puts more stress on you than need be. I mean, you gotta think about it. You're already stressed out because you possibly lost all your stuff. You lost your sense of stability. And maybe you have dependents, maybe you have children, and you lost your sense of stability. That's stress within itself. And with that, I want to say, this too shall pass. It's not going to be permanent, but I'm giving you some solutions so that you can fast forward the process. So going to a local shelter may be your best bet. Yes, it is going to get uncomfortable, but during that time that you're at that shelter, you're not at that shelter to lay up and wait on somebody to find a place for you. You're at that shelter to get your weight up. You're at that shelter to take advantage of resources that you didn't know about, that probably wasn't available to you. Let me tell you something. When you get to these shelters, there should be, mind you, there should be, you know, case managers, social workers to help you on your process to finding stable housing. Most times, the shelters, they have direct links to, they have that referral power to subsidize housing and so forth. But then they also have referral power to jobs and childcare. and all these other resources that you weren't taking advantage of. The importance of taking advantage of resources is it's there for you. It's there. These resources is something that the United States put into place for their citizens. So this is not the time for you to feel like, you know, you're less than or you don't need anybody. No, that's not true. That haven't helped this far. These resources, if you take advantage of the resources the right way, they're meant to help you get on stable ground. There are people that have taken these resources and won with them. Now, my cousin told me about a show, I forget the name of it, and I literally have to watch it. But then the person, the undercover billionaire, okay, that's what it is. She's an undercover billionaire, where the person would have to, would be forced to go into another state, another town, and the only thing they had in their pocket was $200. And they would have to make a life with that $200. And not only make a life with that $200, but then they had to find a place to stay, establish a business. And in order for them to win the challenge or whatever, their business had to make at least $100,000 within a certain amount of time. I'm telling you because I'm saying it can work, okay? It's possible for you to do this. It's possible this can work. And so resources are that's your power. Resources, the available resources is your superpower. Now what you do with those resources can either make you or break you. What do you mean what I do with the resources can make me or break me? Okay. So let's say you're at a shelter and they decided, you know, you're working already, you have income, because let me tell you something, the National Coalition for Homelessness had put out a report that said 50% of the people in shelters work and 40% of the unsheltered work, okay? So let's say you work, and your case manager, social worker is like, okay, let me help you find a place. This is what I've been getting at the Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation. This has been 9 years. I would think that, okay, pandemic has happened. You know, people see this is serious. The world is changing. You know, we got the AI going on right now. We have the rent inflation. You see, there's not really no protection for market rent, workforce housing, you guys, is market rent. It's market renters who work, right? There's not, you know, the protections, you know, for the workforce housing community is not there. You would think, I'm going to take what I can, be uncomfortable for a year or two so that I can get my weight up because I know this real life. This is real life. So I know this is not, this playtime is over. And I want to stay sheltered, but not only stay sheltered, I want to get my weight up. I want to, you know, have a nest egg. I want to learn how to save, things like that. Yeah, you would think that, you know, this is the mindset that people have, but it's not. Even in the Apartment Housing Rentals Foundation, you know, I get people coming in, they're like, income is $2,400. They want a 4-bedroom. Are you kidding me? A 4-bedroom is $1,800. But they want a 4-bedroom, and they don't want anything, nothing less than a 4-bedroom. And mind you, will continue staying with somebody if they can't get a 4-bedroom. No, that's not the mindset that you have to come in with when it's time for you to get help finding an apartment. So let me circle back. Okay, so you're at the point, you're at the shelter, you're at the point where the social worker is saying it's time to find an apartment. And they're giving you, you know, some solutions, okay? This is available for you, that is available for you. I'm not saying, I'm sure they're not gonna give you some rat roach infested place, right? But they will possibly give you an apartment smaller than you want, or in a neighborhood that you don't want to be in. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that you have to go into a war zone where, you know, there's landmines all over the place and you don't know, you know, if you're going to get shot down or something. I'm not saying that. Or you don't know if you step on a mine and, you know, get blown up. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, you got to think about what's the most important. You can't afford to turn down apartments just because it's not on the block you want to be on. And not because, you know, it's, you know, it's in a dangerous neighborhood, but it's just not where you want to be. Or it's smaller than you want. Or instead of having stainless steel appliances, it has white appliances. No. You can't afford to do that. You can't afford to do that. Now, when you get your weight up, you know, you get in that place for a year and you get your weight up, then you maybe can move into something that you want. But let me tell you something. In that 1 year, when you see the quality of your life change, when you see that you got more of your money in your pocket, when you see that you can do more things with your children because you're paying less rent because you downsized, you may not want to move in a year. You may, you know, decide, hey, I'm working on my credit. I'm learning the financial literacy. I'm learning how to budget. I'm learning about money. Hey, let me stay in this apartment for another year so that I can get into the home buying program and get my weight up that way. So these are the changes that you're going to have to make so that you can be stable in the future. You know, I got this saying that I'm sticking with it because it's so true. You gotta think about it as a tomorrow war. What you do today can affect your tomorrow war. What is a tomorrow war? What you have to deal with tomorrow. What you do today can affect what you have to deal with tomorrow. The choices you make today can affect what you have to deal with tomorrow. Okay, so if you want to be stable tomorrow, then you may have to be uncomfortable a little bit today. There are some situations where there's no room in shelters. I get that. So what do you do if there are situations where there's no room in shelters? Let me tell you, 311. Whatever the number is, the local number is, emergency number in your city, you got to start blowing them up. You got to start blowing them up because there's money, there's resources and, you know, money to provide, you know, shelter for unsheltered people. But there's not enough unsheltered people complaining and asking for the help. So the next thing, you can't take no as you is shut down. No. You have to fight. You have to fight. In this world, especially today, you have to fight for what you want. You have to fight for what you need. Now, I'm not saying, look, and T.D. Jakes said it best. Now, I watched this sermon from T.D. Jakes so many times. He said, you can't, look, you guys, you cannot go into a factual fight using your heart. You can't go into a mind war using your heart. It's all about facts. And when I say you can't do that, you can't go into a mind war using your heart, it is personal, right? Got that. But it's not personal against the person that is dealing with you right now. It's not personal against the person that's saying no. It's about facts. So don't go in acting like the world owe you something, because guess what? The world don't owe you nothing, right? And the world tells you all the time they don't owe you anything, but God, who don't owe you anything but will provide everything for you, he tells you something different, right? I had to put that in there. You know, I digressed a little bit. You can't go and, you know, blaming people. You know, you got to stand on the front line in your own situation. You can't go in mad at everybody. I'm tired of getting no's. Do you know, in sales, I took my first belt in college. I did I was doing a sales degree. And I marveled at the fact that, you know, we were spending all this money to get an associate's degree to learn how to accept no. To learn how to accept no. No don't always mean no. No may mean not right now. No may mean come back with some other facts. But you no can be a definite no if you go about it the wrong way. Angry, with attitude, acting like somebody owe you. Don't nobody owe you nothing. Let's just get that straight. No one owe you anything. Now, the government has given, you know, provided resources that you haven't been taking advantage of. That's on you. The resources are there. I mean, one resource I can think of is CETA. They will give you a grant for a utility bill. And a lot of people don't get the grant every year because they think you can only get the grant if your lights are cut off or if your gas is cut off. No, it's a grant. It's available to you. Every year you can apply for this grant. I don't care if, you know, you're up to date on your bills or whatever, and maybe your grant will only be $100 for gas and $100 for light. It's a resource. That's $100 that you don't have to spend. That's what I mean by these resources. What about all these food pantries? The food is so high right now. Food is high. Why don't you go to, you know, a couple food pantries? They're there. You know, in certain neighborhoods, the food in these food pantries, it spoils. Because the people walking around the neighborhood, too, quote unquote, proud to go to the food pantry. You got 5 children to feed. You can't feed them on the stipend they give you for food stamps. It run out at some point in time during the month. To the fact where they're eating less toward the end of the month because you're waiting on the stipend to come on, the link to come back on. Or you're spending $400 or $500 in cash that you don't have, and you're already making minimum wage because you won't go to a food pantry. And it's about, I know, I won't say her name, but she is bad. I'm telling you, that girl bad. She bad, okay? She has, I mean, children. She has 4 children. And when it's time to go to a food pantry, that woman hits up 3-4 food pantries. 3-4 food pantries. It looked like she went to the grocery store. You know, I happened to come to her house one time after she made her rounds to the various food pantries. I'm talking about she had fish, chicken, multiple boxes of cereal, canned goods, fresh vegetables. She had it all. And you know what that did? And she worked. She made a decent salary. Right? But you know what that did? That prevented her from having to pay cash for that food. That prevented her kids from having to eat less toward the end of the month. These are the resources that I'm talking about. There's another resource that people don't take advantage of. And we get people that's on disability. Disability, Social Security, supplemental, I don't know, it's SSI, right? But they can work a little bit. I mean, especially with these work from home jobs. So then there are organizations, SSI will connect you with one of the organizations where you can work while you're on SSI and not lose your benefits. They could, and you know what? Don't call me on the number. They could make up to $2,000, but here's the deal, and still keep your medical benefits. But here's the deal, they'll take a portion out of your check, but the portion that they take, I mean, the math that they use to take that portion, I mean, they literally cut what you make in half. And then they take all the expenses, including clothes, travel, all the expenses from working. And then they take another portion. And that's and so after they, so you got $2,000, you're making $2,000 and your SSI check is about $900. You're possibly going to keep about $500 of your SSI check and still be making $2,000. Now mind you, it's for, I mean, a year, 2 years, whatever, but it's a resource. It's a resource that don't get used. You guys, what about your kids? You know, your kids have an opportunity, another resource. Your kids have an opportunity to be in a, I wanna say, after school program. Do you know the blessing of after-school programs? I know my grandsons, they have to be at school. One of them leave out at 7:30 to get on the school bus. And the other one has to be at school at 8:30. They don't come back home until 6 o'clock. Because the school bused them to an after-school program. And they're at different schools, but they get bused to the same after-school program. They don't come home until 6 o'clock. Do you know how much of a blessing that is? Yeah, they get fed at the after-school program. Now, you know, they're playing with their friends. They have, and one of them is in a cooking club. But what does that do for the parent? That buys you time. That gives you some time back. So you know your kids don't get out of the after school program to 6, then you can work to 5. I mean, you're gonna have to use the resources that are available to you. That these resources don't make you less than. I tell you what though, what make people look crazy is when it's budget time and the city have a budget, you know, have to create a budget, and they see where they spent, when the city see where they spent the money, and they realize that some of these resources were not used, they start taking them back. Now, people look foolish because, wow, I gave you all this free stuff. You left all this money on the table. Resources translate to money. You guys, resources translate to money. So the next tip is, you know, you have to look at it as what I do today is going to affect my tomorrow. It's going to affect how bad that war that I have to fight tomorrow will be. That's how you have to go into it. You got to take advantage of all of the resources that are available to you. Can't be mad that every time you know, get paid, all your money is gone and you still can't pay your bills when there are so many resources available to you, but you're not taking advantage of them. Number 3. And these are just some tips. And then I got to go because I'm, oh my gosh, this show is longer than I thought. All right. Number 3. Preparing for this winter. If you decide to stay with somebody, and you know, I'm just saying, because I'm giving all the scenarios that I have faced. If you decide to move in with someone, make a contract, you guys. You got to make a contract. You need a contract if it's your own place, right? So, you know, make a contract. And let, you know, you guys, the leaseholder and yourself, you guys talk about the rules and the do's and the don'ts. You have to have a clear understanding, okay? so that you don't get into this point where, come on, y'all. Y'all know how it is when you live with somebody. You know, most of the time when people let you live with them, it's because they need that money. I'm here to tell you the truth. And so, but you can live with somebody and it doesn't matter what their rent is. So you, that is not your business how much their rent is. What matters is how much they are allowing you to pay them for them sharing their space with you, for them being uncomfortable, for them not being able to walk around naked, for them not being able to leave a sink full of dirty dishes and things anywhere they want and be able to come back to it, okay? It's a lifestyle change for the person that you're staying with. I have to give them that. But most of the time when you stay with somebody and you say, okay, I'm gonna pay you $500 because I got me and my three children, and thank you for letting me stay, for letting us stay on your couch and store our belongings and our blow up bed, whatever. But soon as that $500 is gone, you already know. Every time you get paid, they're gonna want some money. They're gonna want some money. No. You gotta get a contract. Let's say you work. You get paid every 2 weeks. And you guys agreed that you would pay $500 to stay with them for a few months. And guess what? This is not a permanent thing. It could be, but it's not, right? Now, at this point, you're coming into this. This is not a permanent situation. Pay them $250 every 2 weeks. I kid you not. Pay them $250 every 2 weeks. If you get paid every week, you know, pay them $125 every week, because that way, every time you get some money, they get some money, right? But it's not more than what you agreed to do, okay? If you decide, you get Link, and you decide to spend your money in the household, your Link, make that part of the contract and say the amount of money that you're going to spend. So let's say you get $800 in Link. You know, maybe give them, you know, on top of the $500 that you agreed to pay, maybe give them $100, $150 that they can use on their own for whatever they want. And then you put weekly groceries for your children and the household can get it, you know, can, you know, partake in it, but it's your children's taste. And you don't just go to the grocery store and spend $700 and put it into the household that you're staying in and then get mad because it all got ate up. No, that's what budget, and this is why it's important to learn how to budget. No. You put weekly. You go to the grocery store weekly. You make a list and say what you're gonna cook every single day for that next week, and then you buy food accordingly. And I'm not saying don't keep the household that you're staying with out. I'm saying you gave them, you already paid them $500. You gave them $100, you know, stems or whatever to spend on what they want, and you're not preventing them from eating what you're gonna cook for your children. But you're not bowing down to their taste and their needs, right? You're maintaining the resources that you have and keeping your kids as comfortable as possible while they're in this uncomfortable situation. Let me tell you guys something. There is more than one way to skin a cat. More than one way to skin a cat. And You are a resourceful person. I know you are, right? But you're gonna have to become more resourceful. And how do you become more resourceful? Start taking advantage of the resources that's out there. This is my show, you guys. I have to sit down for a minute and just do the rest of the show because this is so important. This is my show, and you're listening to It's Time for Affordable Housing. I'm LaShondra Graves, the apartment lady, founder of Apartment Housing Renters Foundation, talking to you renters. You can prepare. And while you're preparing for your tomorrow's war, you can get your weight up. You can build your credentials. You can learn how to manage your money. You can make your quality of life even better during that time. And don't forget to pray, because guess what? Prayer changes things. I'm telling you, God said, when we put our plans before Him, He would establish them. We seek Him first, His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Then He also said, when you see a vision, you write it down and you make it plain. That's you budgeting. That's you fighting your tomorrow war today. You heard it here. You're listening to It's Time for Affordable Housing. Bye, guys. Until the next time I come back. I'll see you the next time I come back.